pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Rebecca, would you please do the roll call?
Robert Wieners is excused. Malcolm Kennedy?
Present.
Michael Hardiman?
Present.
Frank Hutchinson is no longer a member. Jack Pittman?
Here.
Victor Sarmiento?
Here.
John Smarch?
Here.
And William Finney is excused.
Are there any comments on the minutes that were presented to your viewing? The meeting of March 3rd? Anybody have anything to say regarding those minutes?
There's a couple of typos and some grammar.
What's happened?
Grammar. You're just reading just the pharmaceutical one around. That's just stuff that needs a little bit of touch up.
Would you get together with Rebecca and make those changes for her? These are minor in nature,
yes,
only grammatical, so they don't change substantially the substance of the minutes. So I will accept a motion to accept the minutes as amended by my colleague.
So moved.
Seconded.
Aye.
Approved. All business on status of underground wire ordinance. God, will we ever get this thing?
I'm working with Brian Matthews. We're trying to get it all squared away and present it to the. Hoping to present it to the committee next month.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And before that happens, you're going to
get with Michael and
with Mike.
Yeah.
So we can really expect something to happen next meeting. Okay. I'll take that as a yes.
Okay.
Is there any further information on pharmaceutical disposal? Have we had any feedback from the gentleman that Major O'Brien gave us so much information last time?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Jack. Major O'Brien is going to head up Collection Day, which will, I think, be on April 30th, Saturday. He owes me a phone call, incidentally. So what I'm saying is what's heard on the street. It's going to be for a four-hour period. There'll be several locations in the city. And all they're going to take is pills.
Mm-hmm.
No needles, no fluids, no... I keep forgetting that. Injectables, no injectables.
And, of course, no controlled substances.
Right, right. That's what I'm hearing verbally from the Sheriff's Department. And I guess we'll just have to watch. It's quite a ways off, so we'll have to watch the local publicity about it.
April 30th.
That's the word on the street.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this a one-off deal?
Yes.
Or is this not in conjunction with any national effort? This is strictly local.
No, except for identity purposes, as was reiterated, I think, two meetings ago, that the federal level was encouraging that this be done. If it's not available in communities like it is in Volusia County now, that this kind of process be instituted on a periodic basis. So, it's not the best solution. It's a start. It's a start from having to, toward accommodating the public at no charge to the public.
I think it's important that that we follow this stuff closely, and that I assume it's going to be successful. And we should make sure that the police department gets sufficient publicity and recognition concerning their efforts.
That's right.
To incentivate them to repeat,
right?
Hopefully on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see it once a month. You know, last Saturday of the month, for example. Saturday seems to be their favorite day for probably a number of reasons that they know best. traditional disposal day in our society in some areas.
So if we could have it the last Saturday of every month, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I would even sell it for every 2 months. But,
well, let's
take what you can get at this stage.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay, that's correct. Wonderful. Is there any new business? Does anybody have any new ideas to propose? New matters? I don't see that. Oh, I'm reading. I'm sorry. Because of pharmaceuticals, I moved back to last month's. Took the next item. Sorry about that. Okay. Well, in the new business, we know that Bill Venny called to say that he could not be present to be introduced as the new member. And the next item is the Utility Advisory Committee to elect new chair and vice chair for a term of 1 year. Okay. In that case, do we have any? Has Mr. Wiener indicated whether he is willing to continue as chair?
I don't know. He didn't say anything to me.
He didn't say anything. He probably wasn't aware of the agenda. No.
To the best of my knowledge, I'm talking with due to some of his medical conditions. I don't know if he's going to go. I don't think he will.
Okay. Well, does anybody have anybody to propose other than yours truly? Because I would rather not.
My suggestion is, I think it's better if we have a quorum, the full memberships are present, and then we can, okay. I guess, do the...
When is the term up?
I'd agree with that.
April.
Oh. Well, but until a new one is elected, the existing one serves. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I agree with Victor's suggestion. So we'll table this until May, at which time we will hopefully have a better indication of whether Bill definitely is in the negative. And in the meantime, maybe we could just kick it around informally after the meeting to see what's...
I guess we can't do that unless Richard has a nervous twitch. We can't do that.
Oh. Well, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that. What's that called? The sunshine.
Sunshine.
That's a good suggestion, but
it's called a caucus, and that only happens at the highest level.
I'm proposing that we do something illegal. Not good for my record. Okay. Then we postpone that until next. At this point, public participation. I see that there is a gentleman sitting in the audience. Would you care to address the meeting, or do you have anything to bring before us at this time?
No, I just thank you very much.
The next is the updates from Mr. Richard Adams. Next slide.
Okay. Here is our water demand chart shown in March. As you can see, we're headed into the dry season, and flows are going up, but still not what they were a year ago. Wastewater flows. We continue to, what would appear by this chart, we continue to make significant progress with our infiltration abatement processes, and we are actually back into another full round of smoke testing this year. We basically did smoke testing last year for the first time and made significant repairs as a result of that first round of smoke testing. We had bought some equipment and trained our own employees to do our own smoke testing. So we do a little bit at a time now as schedules allow, and so we're back making the rounds with our own crews. Still finding broken clean-out caps. It is mostly the source of inflow, but we now are finding some probably more, once you plug the big holes, then the little holes will appear. So we're starting to find some of the smaller holes, which are things like leaks in the pipes and manholes and stuff. We have a contract right now with a pipe lining company. We've lined quite a bit of pipe, several hundred feet of gravity sewer pipe with slip lining in those areas where we had some, also where there's clay pipe, and we have some infiltration through cracks in clay pipe. Field. Don't have March's data yet. 2011 is blue. The white's the. We're now tracking the 15-year monthly average, the white line. Is that, as you can see, the Florida aquifer, that's the aquifer that serves water treatment plant number two, and the confined surface. While this looks like it's way down over here, it's a continuation of this one here, so it's got the December of 18.37. January of 18.02, but back up to 19.7, February. Capital projects that we are working on, we have received our proposals for the original equipment supplier for our proposed zero liquid discharge project at water treatment plant number two. We have selected Doosan as the OEM for that project. We will now go into the design phase. We've got to solicit statements of qualifications for an engineering firm to select an engineering firm so that we can start the design process of that project. But basically what that project is, it's going to be probably 2 years before it's complete, 2 years from now before it's complete. That's taken the concentrate discharge from water treatment plant number two, further treating it, returning the permeate back into the water supply, and removing the impurities is solid. Basically, we'll start with it'll be a lime softening process. The lime will bind up the hardness and settle it out, similar to our lime softening plant, much smaller scale. And then microfiltration after that. So that project will be several months in design and then probably a year of construction. Water treatment plant number three, phase two wells, the 12 wells that have been under construction for some time, they're still under construction. Well pads are pretty much complete, pipeline's complete. Contractor is now waiting for delivery of the equipment, pumps and things like that for the well sites themselves. LW-19 is that well that's down along US-1 that's now been activated, so it's in service now. We are nearly complete with the design of an interconnect with the city of Bunnell. That'll be around the area of State Route 100 and Belcare. so that we'll interconnect the Bunnell water system similar to how we did with Flag Beach. So it'll be a two-way connection. Chances are we probably aren't going to need Bunnell as much as the odds that Bunnell may need us someday. We took bids for a force main project. It's basically we're going to run additional capacity down Whiteview from Belterre to I-95 because we're going to upgrade about four pump stations in the general area of the P's and the R's. There's four pump stations there that are going to get upgraded to need that additional pipeline capacity. We bid that project. That goes to council next workshop for approval. S.E. Klein was the apparent low bidder. And I guess that's probably about what we got going on.
Thank you. Where does Bunnell get its water from, actually?
Bunnell has a water plant. As you're going into town, you see the little water tower on Stairway 100. That's their water plant right there. They have a couple of wells in the general vicinity. It's a conventional lime softening facility. They've had a lot of issues with that plant because it's getting a little long in the tooth and has lacked some maintenance over the years, and they've had some issues with that plant. I know that there's been a number of times in the last several months that they were pretty much bypassing the plant, serving customers with just chlorinated water. Last week they had a 12-inch water main break, and I think they lost water supplies to the entire city. They've got a new utility director there that's been there a few months. He's working hard at trying to bring the system up to, obviously limited funds available.
What would you estimate the percentage of the water usage as compared to pump codes?
Percentage? I really don't know.
Ballpark.
I'm just guessing, but I think their plant is a million gallon day capacity. Our plants are, we have a total of 12 million gallons a day capacity. Last I knew, they were pumping about a half a million a day, I'm not sure, and they were pumping about 7 or 8 million a day on average. So, give you a general idea of the relative size.
So we can handle the capacity if we have to. That's not a problem.
Yeah, our plants, we're operating about 7-8 million a day right now, about 8 million a day. In fact, about 8 million a day right now, and we have 12 million a day capacity. So.
How is their pipeline infrastructure?
Well, that's part of their problem. It's been somewhat neglected over the years, so the director right now, he's trying to research that the best he can. One of the things that frequently happens in utilities is if you don't properly maintain your valving system, you have a tendency to lose them. And over the years, we have had kind of not a real aggressive valve maintenance program. We've had some limited amount of valve maintenance, but we have real good mapping, so we have a general idea where the valves are. A few years ago, we implemented a valve maintenance program whereby we are maintaining, we are hitting all of our valves. I think our goal is a quarter of them every year. So about every 4 years, we will get on a valve and maintain it, exercise it, locate it. We have 7,000 valves in our system, in our water system. So it's a process. We have one guy, that's all he does is maintain valves. But now it's one of the challenges that the current director has is a lot of that, apparently records were in the head of a former utility operator, and those records are no longer available, and so he's kind of struggling with finding these valves, finding the pipes, knowing where they all go. So he's been working very hard at trying to bring all that up to speed, and that's when you have like major water main breaks, and you have losses over large areas because you can't valve down because you don't know where the valves are. So I know he's been dealing with that challenge now for a while, but he's making a lot of progress. So infrastructure-wise, I'm guessing they have a lot of iron pipe, which is good because it's, you know, it'll last a long time. But they do have some issues with things like valves and pipe makers.
Because of who supplies, that's going to have to be fixed at some point, too, regardless of who supplies the water.
Oh, yeah, and they're working on it. I mean, they're making a lot of progress. The, you know, the current city manager and the current utility director, they're working very hard at doing as much as they can with the funds, the resources they have.
Okay.
You mentioned those spots are pretty much two-way between Flagler Beach or between Bunnell.
Right.
So how do you plan to address cross-contamination issues?
Well, it's set up with backflow preventers and valves. So nobody gets anybody's water without both utilities going on site and opening up the valves. We have our valve with our lock, they have their valve with their lock. So it would be like in the case that, let's say if Flagler Beach had a major water main break in their supply line going from their plant to downtown Bunnell, I mean Flagler Beach, they would call us up and we would meet them out there, we'd unlock our locks and open up the valves, and then the water would be flowing one way. If we needed the water to flow the other way, we'd have to change the valve. So that's the way it's set up.
And it won't affect any of our water quality or something?
If we're feeding water to them, it won't in any way could impact our water quality. One of the issues that will have to be addressed if the water supply is ever used, if we are to supply the city of Flagler Beach, we currently are on chloramines as disinfection, and Flagler Beach is on chlorine. So they would have to, if they had to take our water on an emergency basis, they would basically have to convert to chloramines for a period of time while they're using. Vice versa. Now, Bunnell, I believe, is on chlorine, so that issue is not the same.
But other contaminants themselves are also. How's the.
Well, they meet. All the utilities are meeting the standards. I believe that. But now, because they were bypassing their plant, they may have had some issues with exceeding MCLs, but not beyond, not that the water was unsafe to drink. They may have exceeded some of the MCLs. You probably have, you haven't gotten it yet. The water quality report? I brought you a copy of the draft. Our water quality report's out. Be in the mail shortly.
With the billing?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so if you get your bills electronically, it'll come as a PDF.
Okay.
The next item is committee members to discuss new ideas.
I got a couple of short ones.
Okay.
Did any members of the committee go to the Coquina Coast public meeting that was held on March 9th? Okay, well, I came away with a handout. It's a 10-page handout that I'd like to ask that copies be made and made available to our committee's members.
Copies now, or you want us to scan them an email?
Yeah. Scan them and email them. Oh, the color's nice in here. But
whatever's easier these
well,
days.
Well, we don't have a color copier or a color scanner, so if you get copies, they'll be in black and white anyway.
All right.
But isn't that, is that the newsletter?
No, it's, well, it's not labeled as such. It's the title is Coquina Coast Seawater Desalination Project. And it doesn't appear to be news items. And then inside or next is this siting criteria and siting process summary dated March 4th.
Yeah.
Because that's what you were asking for.
Yeah, so we can get, I'm sure we can get color copies for you all if that's what you want.
Be a little classy. Okay, I'll lend you my copy. It's clean except for just the date that's up here in one corner. And then just one other small item picked up from the Wall Street Journal of March 11th, and they ran a little table on family water consumption. And it says U.S. daily indoor per capita water use is 69.3 gallons. And here's how it breaks down. And they've got numbers besides showers, clothes, washers, dishwashers, toilets, baths, leaks, and faucets. The two items I wanted to just drop here are as follows. I was surprised to find that the showers number, consumption level, was 16.8% of the total daily use at 11.6 gallons. Now, on the baths, the number is 1.2 or 1.7%. Now, maybe there's a lot of infants' baths in that title or in that number, but it just was not... the relationship I expected. I figured bath, when you take a bath, you use more water than you would in a shower.
You do.
Yeah.
But they're talking about total water use for baths versus total water use for showers.
Right.
More showers being taken than baths. That's the deal.
Okay.
Because the bath will use more water than a shower.
Yeah. But it's all these numbers are per capita, so
right.
It's per person.
Yeah, but not every person takes a bath. I haven't had a bath in years.
I haven't either.
No so problem. I probably use 16 gallons of water in my shower every day.
Yeah.
So.
But if I took a bath, I would use more than 1.2 gallons in that bath. I guarantee it.
Right.
Anyway, it's just for interest.
But you. I think you're missing the point. It's not 1.2 gallons per bath. 1.2 gallons of the 60 some gallons
used
for baths, since most people take showers. That's the way I would read it. You're right. A frog can't take a bath in a gallon.
No. But you could give a one-year-old a bath with using a gallon, probably.
No.
Or a six-month. A three-month?
You take a gallon jug of water, you're going to put a kid in there to take a bath? I don't see it.
All right. Well... It's created a lively discussion. Since I can't get anywhere on that item.
I think the rest of your committee is agreeing with
you. They use a big gallon.
And then I'll leave you with this then. Because under toilets, the gallons per capita is 18.5 for 26.7%. In Europe for years now, their commodes, and have been installed for years now, have a button for number one and a button for number two.
Right.
We don't have that choice in the United States, and it would be nice to do.
Yeah.
Are they coming in to use?
Well, they're available.
Are they?
Yeah.
All right. I just haven't seen any in the United States. I thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
That's a water saver.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And then, of course, there's an even greater water saver. But a mayor of New York once proposed, when they were having severe water problems, he said, you don't have to flush for everything.
True.
It's yellow, let it melt. Remember that?
All right, I've run out of steam.
It's yellow, let it mellow, brown, flush it down.
I guess John Modem is not here.
We do swale maintenance, so if there's any stormwater issues you have that you want to discuss in that regard, but other than that.
Where are we at with the water runoff usage argument and kerfuffle that we've had with the developers and the owners of large?
The ordinance was passed. I'm not sure exactly what the formula is, but
90% of it?
Something like that, whatever the number is, and there are a number of folks getting a refund. Number of folks getting credit on their past due balance because they didn't pay the bill in protest. So our customer service and finance departments are working on getting all those refunds out to the folks from places like Grand David and making sure they get their refunds.
But is that a dead issue now? It was passed, but
well, it's.
They're not tweaking it.
No, it's a done deal, and the ordinance is passed at both readings, and so we're implementing the ordinance. It's going to, and right now the council has not proposed any kind of rate increase, so the revenues are less than what we had, so we will be going into this next budget year with probably a significant reduction in the stormwater budget.
Plus all the refunds that you have.
Plus all the refunds. Well, the refunds, currently the refunds are in reserve, so we have the dollars for the refunds back.
About 5 years?
I'm not sure. If nothing else happens at this point, no further council actions relative to stormwater rates, we will be reducing the level of service in our stormwater maintenance because the revenues are reduced as a result of the passing of the
work. Is that significant?
Well, in my area, we're probably talking $700,000, something like that, which could result in maybe an entire swale crew or something like that. We're not sure exactly what we're getting, but there's a good chance there will be a significant reduction in the level of service in the stormwater part.
Okay. Anything else? Is there any discussion of matters not on the agenda? It's the last item. Hearing nothing, I'm going to invite once more the member of the public that came, if you care to address us in any way or ask for any information.
Well, actually, I have two questions, if I could.
Sure. What is your name, sir?
Lee Alford with Daniel Jensen Miller, engineering consultant. And we're both in regard to some items that Richard just brought up. One is the capacity for the force main that was being brought in for the additional pump stations. Is that being driven by any particular developments? Or?
No, that is in the area basically south of Whiteview on either side of Belterre. We have four pump stations that pump into a manifold force main that connects with the rest of the manifold at Whiteview.
somewhat pinched down along Whiteview. We had upgraded when we did the pump station on the corner of Ravenwood and Rimfire. We had built the pipeline up Rimfire or up Ravenwood and Whiteview to Belterre, but stopped there.
So it's not in response to any new.
No, it's just basically catching up with some capacity issues that we've been dealing with.
Efficient operational fix.
Yeah. And ultimately, we're going to want to extend that main, because it parallels an existing. Ultimately, we're going to want to extend it under the interstate over to Old Kings and up over to New York. So this is just the next stage.
My other question was in regards to your success with the smoke and dye testing and the INI studies. In this particular, in y'all's particular experience with the results, did anybody do a cost comparison and look at dollars invested in the INI study versus dollars saved from the operational efficiency that you're not having to pump so much stormwater
right.
and move so much stormwater?
Well, we have not done any of those studies. As you can imagine, it's very difficult to tie it down because it's all relative to rainfall. And while it probably be real easy if all you had to deal with was groundwater and infiltration, but when you start throwing inflow in there, a 3-inch stormwater event might bring the water up so high and water just coming in the clean out caps at that level, but maybe not at a 2-inch rate. So we are kind of keeping track of some of these things like the wastewater flow, and until we have major rainfall events, we won't really know whether that's been effective for the inflow situation. We think it is.
I'm sure it is. I mean, that's usually the history with all the municipalities
right.
and stuff that take on those things. I did one for the Navy. And it's a question of always, everybody wants to quantize and say, okay, we invested this much bang for
right.
the buck, but it saves in the long run because all of a sudden now your amount of water you're moving per month and per year is less.
Right. And if you were to do a study like that, I'm sure you've got to make a tremendous number of assumptions.
Oh, yeah. It would definitely be just a ratio of comparing this to historical data and saying, okay,
right.
we've saved some dollars because X dollars per gallon. And so, a real rough kind of
right.
format. But
yeah, we haven't done anything like that. We just feel that we're positive that the benefit exceeds the cost, and kind of just
and that's what we found too. It's just it's interesting when sometimes people look at that and they'll actually do a kind of a
right.
a post operation analysis and say, okay, we saved X dollars.
Right.
For whatever. Thanks.
But, and there's a good chance we'll throw something out there. Just maybe even some obviously as you well know, been designated as a green city, and those are the kinds of things that get you points towards those designations. So we obviously will track it in some form or fashion. We'll tie it down to the dollar. I'm not sure we'll get there. Thank you.
There's no further business. I will. Oh,
yeah. I had an afterthought
okay.
regarding the. The election of a new chair and vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
Is it permissible to have a system whereby you'd have co-chairs so that the chairmanship at any particular meeting could be rotated around through the membership?
We've addressed that before. That
have
one
we?
Came up before, and
yeah.
according to our bylaws, it's pretty specific in there. If I remember right, we addressed that once before.
Yeah.
I think Frank actually suggested that when he was
going back a ways.
So what do you do if neither the chairman or the vice chair are able to assist? Do you postpone the meeting?
Someone could be designated to.
Yeah, I think what Jack was suggesting is that you have more than one and you just rotate.
Right.
It's not. The bylaws aren't set up that way. It's set up so you have a chair and vice chair, and anytime the chair can't do it, the vice chair must, and I guess if either one are here, I would think you wouldn't be able to conduct the meeting.
Yeah, I think that's happened a couple of times. They both were not available and we canceled. Did not have the meeting.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
I'll accept the motion for adjournment.
So
second?
Second.
We're adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.